name of Jesus, if you'll remain standing, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're so glad that you've made it to the house of the Lord tonight. We have some very special guests here with us. Estelle Herrera, we're so glad that you're here. Amen. Dennis Hawthorne is here. We're glad you're here as well. And then Bella Smith and Arthur Paul are here. We're so glad that y'all joined us tonight to be in service. Amen. We understand that time is the most valuable commodity that you have. You've taken time out to be in church. Now, my question to you is, what did you come for? Amen. Amen. Because I believe you'll get what you came for. If you came to go through the motions and get out at 7:45 and go get something to eat, that's probably what you'll do. Amen. But if you came to receive a miracle, or you came for a word from God, you'll get it. Amen. Amen. Thankful for the confidence my pastor has in me. Thankful for the opportunity to preach. Luke chapter 7. Amen. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And I may have gone further back. I believe I did. Okay, let's start at verse 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. Everybody say, tell John. Tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. I want to preach for just a few moments from this title. Go tell John again. Amen. Why don't we lift up our hands and pray that the Holy Ghost will speak to us tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for every soul that's gathered in this place. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me to preach your anointed word one more time, God, that you would strengthen me to strengthen your people, God. Help me to help your people, God. Speak to us tonight. God, speak into specific situations. God, touch, heal, and change us. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Come on, why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Amen. You may be seated. I believe that I have missed something in this scripture for many, many, many years, and I've just noticed it this year in reading through the Word of God about this account with John. Now, many of you are familiar with the passage that we've read. The Bible tells of John, who is in prison. This is John the Baptist, amen, and he's in prison simply for preaching the Word of God. He preached against some sin that was going on in high political places, and the political leaders did not like what he was preaching about. And so they put him in prison. And so you have an innocent man who simply spoke the truth that he had been commissioned by God to speak, and he was being punished for it, and he was facing the consequence for really innocence in essence. And We have this story where John, he gets two of his disciples, and he sends his disciples to Jesus. And the essence of what he wants to know is, are you the one that we were looking for? Amen. John is the front runner or the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the one that preached the message that prepared the way for Jesus to come on to the scene. Amen. I'll stop right there and say, you still need a preacher to get you ready to receive what God has for you. Amen. And so John was the one that preached the message that prepared the way for Jesus Christ to come on to the scene. And so this man, John, who was the first cousin of Jesus Christ, he's sitting in prison. He sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one that we were looking for? Are you the one that I preached about? Are you the one that really I prepared the way for? Do we need to look for somebody else? And now this I've parsed this, I feel like, every way that I thought that it could be parsed. But the fact of the matter is that John, I've always thought that he's just sitting in prison. And he's having some issues with well, if I can just tell you how I thought. Okay. So my assumption was that John baptizes Jesus, and shortly thereafter he gets put in prison. And so now he's rotting away in prison, and he really doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge about this man Jesus. As a matter of fact, John, he kind of hid in the wilderness for 30 years before he ever started preaching. And so he's been kind of disconnected from society. And so he's just not sure. So he sends his disciples, and they go, and Jesus confirms with miracles and signs and wonders what's going on. And he sends a message back to John. But interestingly, you'll notice, now I'm going to go to Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Now, this immediately follows the healing of the centurion's servant when Jesus said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Amen. This is when he's coming to heal the servant of the centurion. And the centurion tells him, "I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof, but I understand authority and I know what it's like to tell a man to go and he goes, tell a man to come and he comes. So why don't you just speak the word and my servant will be healed?" Amen. And Jesus said, "I've not found faith like this in all of Israel," but he heals this centurion servant. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 7 and verse 11, "And it came to pass the day after." So this is the day after the healing of the centurion servant, "that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, 'Weep not.'" Now her son is dead. Her only child is dead. And Jesus is saying, "Don't cry." Amen. Why not? Because he came and he touched the bier, which is what we would know as the coffin. "And they that bare him," this dead man, "stood still." And Jesus says to this young dead man, now I'm going to steal from Johnny James for just a moment. I heard him do an expose on this, and he said that if you go into the original language, that you'll actually find that there was a process that we would know kind of like being embalmed, but they used a chemical that would actually eat the organs of the individual to where they wouldn't stink so bad, and it would preserve them just a little bit longer. And so he said, when Jesus stepped on the scene, this isn't just somebody whose heart has quit beating. This is somebody whose heart has quit beating, their lungs have quit breathing, their blood has quit circulating, and then they put chemicals into this body, and every bit of those organs have been eaten. Amen. And so you're not just talking about a man that's dead. You're talking about a shell, a husk of a man that doesn't even have the faculties to be raised to life. And so Jesus didn't just make a heart that existed start pumping again. He had to remake the heart and then tell it to pump. Amen. He didn't just tell perfectly formed lungs to start breathing again. He had to rebuild the lungs and then put wind in the lungs. Amen. He didn't just start making the blood circulate once again. He had to recreate the blood and then tell it to circulate. Amen. And so when Jesus raised this man from the dead, every man that's raised from the dead is a big deal. But this was a really, really big deal because everybody knew. Amen. Amen. God help us right now. Amen. This ain't like the 12-year-old girl that has just quit breathing 30 minutes ago when Jesus walks in. Amen. This man is a shell. He's a corpse that doesn't have any organs inside. And Jesus said, "It's time, young man, for you to get up." Now, what happened in that moment when Jesus said, "Arise," was more than what you could see on the surface. But they knew what was going on beneath the surface. And life began to come in. And organs began to form. Restoration began to happen. But it happened underneath the surface first. Amen. "And he that was dead sat up." and began to speak, and Jesus delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Now that's a revelation right there. God has visited his people. Because we still believe that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so you find in this miracle, amen, it's miraculous, but it's big time miraculous. They know what's happened in this young man's life, but then they say, it's not just that. In order for this to happen, the person that can perform this miracle has to be God that has visited his people. And so you don't just have a miracle that's happened. You have a confirmation of identity of the miracle worker. Amen. They said, yeah, he's a great prophet, but he is God that has visited his people. And so you have the miraculous, and you have the confirmation of the identity of the miracle worker and this rumor of him. What rumor? The rumor that he can literally raise somebody from the dead while he has to rebuild them from the inside out. And only God can do that. This man, this is God that has visited his people. Amen. And so this rumor of him, the rumor that he is a dead raiser and that he is God and has visited his people. This rumor went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him, John, of all these things. Everybody say the disciples of John. The disciples of John show John all of these things. And so I want you to wrap your mind around this real quick. These disciples of John are following the disciples of Jesus because their leader is stuck in prison. And Jesus is running around doing miracles and preaching the gospel. And so they're following Jesus. And when he does this, it is so powerful to these disciples of John that they say, we have to go to that prison house and tell John what we have just seen. Now, I don't know, and it's not recorded in the Bible. I do not know the exchange that happened in that prison house with John and his disciples. But I can promise you, the rumor they were telling was that there was a man walking the streets that could take somebody that was empty and broken and dead, and he could rebuild them from the inside out, and he could raise them back to life again, and that only God could do that for his people. Man. And so they tell John the rumor of Jesus. Now, the Bible says instantly, and John calling unto him two of his disciples. Everybody say two of his disciples. Two of his disciples. Okay, John definitely had more than two disciples. But after they tell him the rumor of Jesus and everything that he had done, he calls two of his disciples. Two of his disciples. He did not say this to all of his disciples. He called two of his disciples. Now, why is this important? Because John is struggling with something that he does not feel comfortable to disclose to everybody he knows. Amen. Oh, God, help me to preach this tonight. Amen. There are people in this house, and you're in situations. You are going through trials and struggles and troubles. And it has messed with your mind to the extent you are not comfortable with just anybody knowing what you're dealing with inside. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, God didn't tell me what you're dealing with. But God dealt with me. There are people in this house that he wants to speak to tonight, right where you are. Amen. When nobody even knows the thoughts that have been going through your mind, but God knows. Amen. And God wants to confirm some things and to affirm some things in your life tonight. Amen. I pray in this house that if you came in with doubts, you leave changed tonight and more sure than you've ever been about who God is and the capability he has to move in your life. Amen. Amen. So we can only assume that he calls two of his closest disciples to him and sends them to Jesus saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" When the men were coming to him, Jesus, they said, "John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in that same hour, Jesus cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And then we get where Jesus, I read it. Luke chapter 7, verse 22. Now, I want to read from Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ," there it is right there. When John heard in prison the works of Christ, the disciples who have seen the works of Christ have gone and told John. When he heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again." Yeah. Amen. "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." The solution to the problem that you're dealing with in your own mind is that somebody tells you again, God is still a miracle worker. God is still a way maker. God is still a healer. He's still a deliverer. God is still in the saving business. I want to talk to the two for just a moment. To the ones close enough to an individual that they feel comfortable to disclose that their deepest and darkest insecurities and doubts and infirmities and because of what they're going through, they're not sure they believe everything that Jesus is capable of. Let me tell you, to the two, when you go back, don't tell them how bad their situation is. Tell them how capable their God is. Hallelujah. To the two, don't talk about their prison cell. Talk about the dead being raised and the blind eyes being opened. Come on. I know you walk through some bad situations. I know you walk through trials. I know there's times you feel like you're in a prison cell, but you don't need a pity party. You need somebody to talk about the miracles that God is still performing. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to understand that John is not a bad guy. Amen. Having doubts and having questions doesn't make you a bad person. Amen. The devil tries to use the situations that confine you. He tries to use the prison cell to work on your mind and cause you to doubt. Then when you doubt, he uses that against you to condemn you that you don't trust in God like you should. Well, the devil's still a liar. Amen. Jesus said, "Go and show John again." Go show him again. Okay. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. Jesus starts to talk about John behind John's back. Amen. Here's a good lesson on how to talk about somebody behind their back. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Jesus began to say unto the multitudes about John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothes are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. You got to understand, John, I know you're having trouble right now from your prison cell, but God still thinks you're the man. Oh, God, help me to preach this right now. Amen. You went out to see a prophet. That man's more than a prophet. Amen. That man, oh, God help. That's a man of God right there that you're looking at. Amen. So just because you start to have doubts in your mind, don't let the devil tell you that you're lost and you might as well walk out the door and backslide and never come back. No, baby, you're still a child of God and you're more than what you think you are. Hallelujah. The reason he's more than a prophet is because this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger. He's not just a prophet. He's my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before. He goes on to say, verily I say unto you that among them which are born of woman, there is not a greater man than John the Baptist. Amen. I know you're dealing with junk right now, John, but you got to understand, you're still a great man. You're still a great prophet. You're still my messenger. As a matter of fact, it was John the Baptist. He prepared the way for Jesus Christ to come onto the scene. But not just that, for Jesus says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is preached. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. John opened a door for you to go get some things that weren't accessible before. This is the John that baptized Jesus. Amen. He was the instrument to fulfill all righteousness. When Jesus came, John testified of Jesus before meeting him. He said, there's one coming after me who's mightier than I. The latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when Jesus showed up, John would declare, behold, the Lamb of God. When Jesus said, baptize me, he said, I have need to be baptized of you. Why are you saying for me to baptize you? I need what you've got. You don't need what I've got. I need what you've got. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, do it, because it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Amen. John, I want you to hear this. This is a big deal. John was the instrument for Jesus to fulfill all righteousness in his own life. Think about that. Now, God could have, I guess, used somebody else. But God chose for John the Baptist, to be the missing puzzle piece of Jesus' fulfilled righteousness. If it were not for John, Jesus' righteousness would have remained incomplete. That's a big deal. This is that John the Baptist. Like I said, John is preaching the gospel and he gets into some murky political territory and he gets put in prison for preaching the gospel, for preaching the kingdom of God. And I just wonder if the day that he got locked up by Herod, if John didn't say, Jesus will get me out of this. He's going to perform a miracle for me because I've done nothing but work for him from the day I was born. So I know he's going to come through for me. The night passes and there's no miracle. Day two, Jesus is going to show up for me. He's going to perform a miracle. Evening comes, night passes. Day three, Jesus is going to perform a miracle for me. Surely it's going to happen and I'll be released from this prison. I've done nothing but work for God. And now I'm stuck in this messy situation and it's confinement and it's dark and no doubt there are mice and nastiness running around on the floor and there's no septic system and there's no city sewer and there's no city water. It's a disgusting and filthy confinement for a man that has done nothing but work for God. And day after day as it drags by, his faith that was once so big begins to wane until finally he can hear the works. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. He can hear of the works of God. But right now, amen. And even though he knows that Jesus is out there performing miracles for others, he cannot reconcile what he thinks he knows about God with why he'll do it for everybody else, but won't do it for me. So day after day after day after day after day, John lives in the same prison cell, no doubt praying the same prayer. Jesus, come through for me. Jesus, come through for me. Jesus, come through for me. It's looking like they're about to execute me. Jesus, come through for me. And then the disciples come and they say, John, we got to tell you a story. Amen. I know you feel like you're about to get executed, but you got to know there was this man that had been dead for days, if not weeks, and they were going to bury him. Everybody was mourning, and Jesus stopped them. Said, quit crying. Amen. John. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Quit crying. Quit crying. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And John, you should have seen as the coffin opened and the man sat up. He began to look at Jesus. And John, this wasn't normal. I'm telling you, this wasn't normal, John. This man had been dead so long, they'd already given him the stuff. I don't even know what the stuff was. Johnny James explained it. I wish I could have found it. I tried to. Amen. They had already given him the stuff, and you know the stuff. His organs were gone. There was no chance he was coming back to life. It wasn't just the spirit disconnecting from the body like they taught us and all that stuff. No. This man was gone, gone, gone. Jesus raised him from the dead. And I'll tell you what people were saying when he did that. They were saying, God has visited his people. And John thinks back to when Jesus came walking down that road to the Jordan River where he was baptized. And it was so clear that day, this is the Lamb of God. As a matter of fact, John would testify in the book of St. John that God had spoke to him and he had said, the one that you see, the Spirit descending on like a dove and remaining, that's the one. That's the one that you're preparing the way for. And John baptizes Jesus, knowing exactly who he is. And then as he baptizes Jesus, the heavens are ripped open like the curtain in the temple. Amen. And the Spirit begins to descend like a dove and it sits upon Jesus. And a voice shatters.
waters the heavens that says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And John knew that day exactly who Jesus was. There's been a lot of water going to the bridge since that day. God help me. And now, John is so arrested by his own prison cell that what was once so clear about God's identity has begun to wane in his mind. Amen. It's not, I don't believe for a second that it was about John not knowing or not remembering everything that he had known about Jesus. It was the simple problem that his human brain, being bombarded with so many dark troubles, could not reconcile. I know what I learned about God. But I cannot understand. I'm about to get right to where you're living. I cannot understand how God can be so good and not fix this situation that I'm going through. I don't understand how God can heal the blinded eyes, raise the dead, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and he leaves me here to rot in a prison cell. I can't reconcile what I thought I knew about God with that. I can't do it. And so he says, I need some of y'all to go ask him a question. Are you really that guy? The Lord dealt with me as I prayed. A question came to me. Statement. And I want to present it to this church tonight. Really, the entire premise of this message is this. Do not question who God is because of what he has not done for you. I'm not just presenting this to you like it's something you need to chew on. It drove me into the floor to cry for a while and to repent and to pray about. Let me tell you, don't allow yourself to question who God is because of what you thought he should have done for you already. Oh, God, help us tonight. Amen. Because We get so caught up in our own situations that we start to question whether or not God is good based off of what he hasn't done for us. And then if you allow that train of thought to start to come into your mind, then when God does something good for somebody else while you're still waiting on your miracle, not only are you not happy with God, you're not happy with the fact that your brother or your sister got a miracle. Oh, Jesus, we're about to go somewhere in this house. Amen. And so you have to be careful questioning identity. That was so clear. You are the Lamb of God. You are the Son of God. You are the one that's coming after me. You are the one that's mightier than me. You are the one that I'm not even worthy to loose your shoe latchet. But in prison, John said, are you even the one that I was supposed to preach about? And so he sends his closest disciples, go ask Jesus, ask him if he's really the one, ask him if he's the one that I was preaching about. And so the Bible says that that same hour, Jesus cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then, after he had done all of that, Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. Yes. Oh, Jesus. Amen. The deal is that Jesus did miracles so mighty that it was unquestionable who he was. And so I want to encourage this church tonight. When not everything's going right in your life, why don't you just buckle down on watching the miracles that Jesus is doing in the church and in your brother's life and in your sister's life? Let's change your train of thought right now. Instead of falling into the moly grub that says, well, God just doesn't do that anymore. No, say, God did that for brother so-and-so, and God's no respecter of person. My miracle may be next. Don't let your trial diminish God's power. Don't let your struggle diminish God's ability. Don't let your circumstance diminish God's miracle working power. God is still God. He's still the one that stepped onto the edge of nothing and said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. Amen. I need you to focus in for just a second. Amen. Because God, I'm telling you, God can perform miracles in your mind before this service is over if you'll get a hold of what I'm preaching right now. Amen. I look across this crowd, and there's people staring off in space like you're just ready for dinner. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you forget about dinner. Amen. What you need is for God to touch your mind through this word right now, and you'll enjoy your dinner more anyway. He said, go tell John what things ye have seen and heard. Now, I've told you before, I don't believe that Jesus does anything on accident. And not a word that God speaks is on accident or coincidental. Amen. So he said, this is what you've seen and heard. You've seen that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Amen. The blind see. Now, you could say, well, that means he opens blinded eyes. Yes, that is what it means, but that's not just what it means. If you're blind here tonight, God can open your eyes to where you can see as clearly as anybody else. Amen. God can still heal your physical eyes, but I believe it's deeper than that. I believe that he's saying, you need to understand that I can do the miracle that when you are so confined by your situation that you can't see how God can fix it, I can give vision. I can give vision when you can't see how it's going to work out. That can open your eyes. Amen. The blind see. Amen. If you feel like you're so dark and confused and chaotic in your life and you can't even see past the end of your nose, I'm here to tell you, John, I'm going to tell you again. I know you've heard it, but the blind can still see by the power of Jesus Christ. The lame walk. If you don't feel like you have the strength to take another step in this walk with God, I want you to know he can fix your spiritual legs, but he can fix your natural legs. He can fix all of it. You can take another step. You can make it all the way. The lame walk. Because there's a lot of people, amen, you get started good on the journey and you're running, amen. But somewhere along the way, you either pick up weight and you feel like you can't go any further, or you fall down and you feel like you can't get up. Well, let me tell you, he said, go tell John again that the lame are walking. The lame are walking by the power of Jesus Christ. I'm not preaching anything new to you right now. Amen. You've heard this 1,000 times, John, because you have a man of God. Amen. You've got a pastor that finds the mind of God and preaches it to you. But John, I'm just here to tell you again, the blind still see and the lame still walk. And if God can do it for them, he can do it for you. Amen. The lepers are cleansed. Leprosy was always a type of sin. Lepers are cleansed. Go tell John again. Amen. John, I know you've heard that God can take care of your sin problem, but I'm here to tell you again. Lepers are being cleansed. You got sin you think you can't shake? Lepers are being cleansed. Amen. You got chains you feel like you can't shake off? Lepers are being cleansed. Lepers are being cleansed. God help us right now. Amen. I just want to make a statement in 2024, just about 2025. I know that in our world, we're dealing with unprecedented assault on the human flesh, trying to get people to fall into sin. Lepers are still being cleansed in 2024. Amen. The power of God is still strong enough to free you from anything that the devil has formed to try to keep you bound. I don't care how bad the world gets. The church can still be holy because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." I'm not just talking about the way you dress. I'm talking about the purity, the righteousness of your conscience beneath the surface. Lepers are still being cleared. Amen. The deaf hear. Does it feel like no matter how much preaching goes forth, that loved one just don't get it? It's like falling on deaf ears. John, I know you're struggling right now. And I know you've heard this before. I'm just here to tell you again. Deaf ears are still being opened. You may not see it at all. You may feel like it's not working in your favor, not one whit. But I'm telling you, deaf ears are still being opened. And there can come a day where they walk in and they'll hear the same message they've heard 1,000 times preached from this pulpit, and it'll finally click, and they'll walk to the altar, repent of their sins, and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. John, I'm telling you again, deaf ears are still being opened. The dead are still being raised. Amen. I don't care how dead in sin they are. I don't care how far dead you feel like that hope or that dream was. The dead are still being raised. John, I know you've heard it. I'm just here to tell you again. The dead are still being raised. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't question whether or not he's the one you should follow and you should trust. The dead are still being raised. And to the poor, the gospel is preached. Amen. To the one that feels like you can never overcome, can I say it like this? The status that you were born into. That day was strongly cast in that the elite were very elite. And there was really no middle class. And the low were really low. The poor were really poor. And he said, you go tell John that good news is being preached to the people that didn't have a chance otherwise. If you're here tonight and you feel like that the whole world has thrown you away and your family has thrown you away and society has thrown you away and you're just poor and helpless and oh, pitiful me, let me tell you, there's good news for you. Amen. This gospel, this repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost can take you from a zero to a hero by the power of Jesus Christ. I know you've heard it, John. I'm just here to tell you again, one more time, that the gospel is still being preached to the poor. Hallelujah. The gospel is still being preached to the poor. So let me tell this church right now, don't you go through and sort and filter who you think the Holy Ghost will fill and who you don't think the Holy Ghost will fill. You preach the gospel to every creature. It's probably the poor and the helpless that are going to get it anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, it's time for this church, it's time for the people of God to go to the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel people to come. Amen. Lance, I hope you're listening. He told me he was going to tune in tonight. Amen. I told Lance on Friday, I said, brother, you've tried everything that the world has to offer and it's not worked. So why don't you try Jesus right now? Amen. And he came in and it wasn't about 40 minutes in a midday prayer meeting. He was speaking in tongues under the power of the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. We're about to end right here. I'm going to ask one person a very honest question. Amen. Brother Wade Wallace, did you ever think that was going to happen? No. I want you to look at Brother Wade Wallace, church. Did you think that was ever going to happen? Okay. Now for the rest of you that think it's never going to happen in your family, it happened Friday for Brother Wade Wallace. The gospel is still being preached and it's still changing lives. Come on, I need somebody to worship the Lord right now. Come on, you need to put your faith on this deal. You need to put your faith on this deal right now. Yeah, go ahead and obey the Holy Ghost right now. Go ahead and obey the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. I've not told you anything you don't already know. I've not preached some new, fresh revelation. I just came to tell John again. Amen. God help us right now. Amen. This is what you have to do when you're in prison. This is what you have to do when you feel like the walls of your confinement are closing in on you and you're questioning who God is and if he's able to do anything for you. I want you to look across this church and just see the miracles that God has already performed in this place. Amen. This is, I could be wrong, I've not done an exhaustive search of it, but I believe this is the only place in the entire Bible where Jesus does miracles just to prove a point. Amen. He does miracles just to prove to John, I'm still able. Amen. And so if... I'm going to plead with you for just a moment. Thank you for responding so far to the Word of God. Thank you. But there are people that are behind the people that are up front. And you've walked in with the same troubles over and over and over, and you've heard it preached, and you've heard it preached, and you've heard it preached, and you've sat there like, yeah, here we go again. Here we go again. Oh, God. I just came to encourage you. Jesus is still performing miracles. He's still performing miracles. Do you believe that Jesus is still performing miracles? Come here, Brother Jerry Martin. Come here. Come here, Brother Jerry Martin. Come here. Brother Jerry Martin. Hey, he had cancer. They didn't know if he was going to live. Well, he's alive. Come here, Sister Borner. Come here. Amen. Sister Borner had a heart monitor. They couldn't figure out what was going on. She got a touch. Come here. Come here. Come out here. She got a touch of the Holy Ghost. She said, I'm sending it back. I ain't doing that no more. She's alive today. No heart monitor. Come here, Brother Wade Wallace. Come here. Brother Wade Wallace's son-in-law just prayed through Friday. Amen. In a midday prayer meeting. I need somebody that's got a financial miracle. Anybody got a financial miracle in the past year? Anybody? Don't be ashamed. I'm not going to really point you out. Come here, sister. You got a financial miracle? Amen. Amen. Oh, she had a miracle on her. Well. I'm just having fun now. Brother Pate, did you raise your hand that you got a financial? Come here, Brother Pate. Now you may say, why are you doing this? Because, John, I'm trying to tell you again, God's still in the miracle business. So if you need a healing, or if you've got lost loved ones that you want to see full of the Holy Ghost, if you need a financial miracle, I'm here to tell you, God is still performing. Hallelujah. Come on. Now, if you need a miracle, why don't you take a step of faith right now? I don't care how dark it feels. I don't care how much trouble you walk through. I want you to come knowing I'm not going to question who God is. God is able. God is able. God is able. I got a scripture for you, John. He didn't have it when he was in prison, but we've got it today. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Now, how does that happen? According to the power that worketh in us. All you need to do is get in the Holy Ghost one more time. Come on, pray. Pray, church, pray until the Holy Ghost begins to flow. Come on, reach over and join up with somebody beside you and pray until the Holy Ghost starts to flow. I'm done preaching. Pray until the Holy Ghost starts to flow. You need a miracle? Pray until the power starts to flow. Come on, praise!